Glad to have you with us. We have many guests with us this morning. We welcome you. And because of that, we have a lot of people who are with us for the first time. I want to give a little bit of lead up before I tell the story I'm about to tell. And so as you see our artwork up on the screen, this is all about our Go Northeast initiative. And what we've been doing this past month is really pushing and launching a new disciple making and outreach initiative here at Northeast. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we had a group from Madison, Alabama come work with us as we launched a lot of this initiative. And it was partnered together with our Vacation Bible School. And so what you see around is a congregation that's still recovering from all of that, as we had a long, like 10 to 15 hour days of people up here working and doing outreach and service and prepping for a Vacation Bible School. But also, you have a lot of people who, during that, as the summer has, and I was with another congregation for a summer series, and it was true for them too, that many people were recovering from COVID. If they're here, they probably don't have COVID, don't worry. But myself included. But as I think about our busy week that we had 2 weeks ago, and all the fun, the activity, the excitement of stepping into God's mission, you know, part of putting on that big week was coordinating housing from some of our guests from the Madison Church in Madison, Alabama. We had 49 people come up to work with us, and so we needed to provide housing for them. And as you would imagine, you know, that is, it's kind of tricky. And you have people with allergies that can't stay at this house or that house, or people, you know, we stick all the boys and the girls together. We want to fit chaperones in certain houses. So it's kind of like a puzzle piece, if you will, to piece it all together and figure out what works best. And then you add the element of people started kind of going down with COVID. People started getting COVID. And so we had a couple of our host families where they had cases of COVID. So then we had to move the kids over to another house. Now, luckily, we had several backup houses that didn't have kids at and were available for that. And I want to share something that happened that week. It just shows you kind of the mode when we get so busy and kind of caught up with what's right in front of us. And so I'm coordinating this housing switch, as we had one family come down with COVID, so we had to switch the kids over. And we were going to switch that first case where we had to switch kids over to another house. We were going to switch, I don't think they'll mind me sharing, we were going to switch them over to the Headleys. And so they and so if you do mind I'm sharing, I apologize now. I did ask the other person I'm going to share about. So we asked if the Headleys could take them. And we'll come to find out, actually, the Headleys have a cat. And these kids were allergic to cats. And so, okay, we figured it out and put them somewhere else. Well, then 2 days later, and I have already asked Rob Brown came down with COVID. And so we had to switch their family. And so I get a call from Kristen, Rob Brown's wife, and she immediately says on the phone, well, Rob's come down with COVID. And you expect me to be very ministerial, very, very kind, oh, so sorry to hear about Rob. But my first line is what I say to Kristen is, are the kids allergic to cats? Because I'm in problem-solving mode, trying to get the kids to the next house and fit all the pieces together. But in all seriousness, thank you so much for everyone who worked towards that. We're going to talk a little bit about how we did that towards the end of this lesson. But thank you for all who goes all hands on deck. And we appreciate you for serving and showing up, volunteering. But I want to remind us that it was much more than just a fun week with our friends from Alabama. It was much more than just a fun week for our kids to come and do crafts and activities. It was more than just cool service projects and ways to give back to the community. We believe that as we responded to the mission of God, and we've been talking a lot about that this summer, that this was more than just a great week, but it was stepping into thousands of years of what God has already been doing. Since the very day, first day of creation, into the sixth day when God created humanity in His image, and He gave them a mission, gave them a purpose, which was to be His ambassadors, to be His image bearers, created in His image to partner and have relationship with God, and to join Him in drawing people to Him, one person at a time. And this mission was then collected or is, it was kind of given together through the words of Jesus as throughout salvation history, where then he comes to his disciples, his early disciples, and he says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And through this passage, what we see and what we're pushing here at Northeast is this path of a healthy disciple. Nick brought this up again last week. But that we believe that through this call that we are called to find and follow Jesus, we're called then to be changed by Jesus, and we're called to join the mission of Jesus. And this all goes together with our already stated purpose and mission here at Northeast, which is love God, grow deeper, and share Jesus. We believe this is the purpose of life. This is what we're called to as disciples of Jesus, to find and follow Jesus, to be changed by Jesus, experience that personal transformation that comes from being close to Jesus, and then joining his mission. Then going around in that cycle and then helping people find and follow Jesus, helping people be transformed, be changed by Jesus. And then our job's not done until then those people are also joining the mission of Jesus and realize their true purpose to partner with God and have relationship with him in bringing about his goodness, being his ambassadors on this earth. Like, that's the purpose. It's not just a fun week of VBS, but it's that. VBS is the application. It's the context. Those acts of service that we did, those are the application. That's the context. But it's wrapped up in this bigger purpose, the mission of God, and here's how we join that mission and help other people join that mission as well. Now, in thinking about the mission of God, Jesus on one particular occasion, and you can find this in Luke chapter 10, was teaching about that mission. In fact, he had one expert of the law at that time. It would have been like a religious elite, someone who would teach the law and interpret the Old Testament law, those first 39 books of the Old Testament, particularly probably the first five he was probably an expert in, call that the Pentateuch or the Torah. And he was kind of this expert in that, and he comes to Jesus, and they're kind of going back and forth. And Jesus tells him this story where he asks him, what's the most important command in the law? And Jesus guides him to see it's to love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus shares a story with this expert. It's a story that what many Christians have come to call story of the Good Samaritan. And in this story, Jesus tells of this Jewish man who's on his way to Jerusalem. He's along this desert road. And at that time, this long desert road, you're isolated, you're kind of exposed. It'd be much like what we think of when you are downtown, maybe in Cincinnati, and you see a dark alley, and you kind of know that's not the place you want to go to meet friends. But instead, it's not, you know, it's kind of a scary place. You're exposed, you're vulnerable. And that's what this road on the way to Jerusalem would have been much like that. And so this Jewish man going along that road is beaten and robbed and mobbed by robbers. And he's left on the side of the road half dead. Well, as the story goes, two of the religious elite, priests, ministers, if you will, come along the side of the road. They see the man, but they're on their way to Jerusalem, which likely implies they're on their way to go worship. And they see, I'm on a mission to get to the temple Jerusalem, and I've got to stay true to that mission. And they leave the man on the side of the road and neglect their duty as priests and ministers to help this person who is hurting. But then there's a Samaritan who comes along the side of the road as Jesus tells the story. And this would have been a very shocking point of the story because Samaritans were considered the sworn enemies of the Jews. And Jews looked at Samaritans with disgust and they didn't get along and they didn't like each other. And likewise, the Samaritans looked at the Jews in the exact same way. But the Samaritan comes along the side of the road. He sees the Jewish man suffering. And he actually decides to serve sacrificially to the point of where he bears the expense to help this Jewish man on the side of the road who is dying. And Jesus' moral of the story is to get the expert in the law to see that the one who actually participated in the mission of God was not those who were headed to the temple, but it was the Samaritan who this expert in the law would have considered outside of God's people. But it's the Samaritan who actually stepped into God's mission and loved his neighbor as himself. And then Jesus ends the story with this, and he says, go and do likewise. Go and do. That's what Jesus tells his expert in the law. Okay, you're an expert in the teachings that you read about in the Old Testament and the Torah and the Pentateuch, first five books and the rest of the law. You're an expert. But that doesn't really matter if you have it all memorized. It doesn't really matter if you can quote it all in Hebrew. He says, go and do. The Samaritan, presumably, may not have had, and it may not have been an expert in the law. But he saw something right in front of him, saw a need that needed to be met, and he responded. He was a doer. In some of the older translations, in James chapter 1 and verse 22, you have this phrase. It says, but be doers of the word. Be a doer of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Some newer translations, I think, put it a bit more simply. Just do, NIV says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Just do what it says, if you will, to take that Nike tagline, just do it. When you know to do good, it's right in front of you. Do it. Respond to the call. Do what it says. But that phrase, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. It's such a powerful thought there. Because there's times, and what we're doing this morning, we're opening up the Word of God, and we are discerning what it says. We're trying to become more knowledgeable. We just spent some time in Bible study. I know in the young adult class, we're opening up a chapter of Scripture and being honest, being real about what it says, and trying to understand and trying to grasp, trying to discern. Right? That's good. We want to keep doing that. Maybe you have a devotional Bible plan that you follow every day and you're in it, right? That's a spiritual discipline. We did a whole series sort of on spiritual disciplines. I know we had a Bible class on that not too long ago. We did a prayer series last fall where we focused on the spiritual disciplines. Those things are good. But if we just do those practices and we just read the word and we just pray, but we never act, we're guilty of what James says here as being a doer of not being a doer of the word, but being a hearer only. And if we do that, we become just like the two men coming along that road to Jerusalem, seeing someone half dead, but saying, I've got to go serve God, when we miss the mission of God right in front of us. And so we've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In another place, Jesus talks about what this might look like. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives this vision of what it's going to be like to stand before God one day. And we have all kind of ideas what that's going to look like. And as you imagine, we have all sorts of opinions about what it's going to be like to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I've heard all my life, well, if you do this or that, not going to want to be in your shoes on judgment day. Or if you hold this opinion or that mindset, you know, that's not going to stand well in the day of judgment. But I think perhaps we've missed what the whole idea of judgment is going to be as our works are weighed. It's going to be less about what we think, although what we think certainly matters. But it's going to be more about what we do, specifically in what we do in terms of responding to the mission of God right in front of us. It says, all the nations will be gathered before him, Jesus says, and he will separate the people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and his goats on his left hand. I'm not making any connotations to our crowd here. Make those motions. Totally kidding. All right. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared before you since the creation of the world. That's what you want to hear, right? When you respond to the king on the day of judgment, you want to hear, take your inheritance, take what is yours, take what you've been investing in as you followed me day in and day out. And what's the measure for that? I got news for you, right? When I graduated from Freed Hardeman with a master's degree, and you take this exit exam, and you have to kind of fill out all these things to make sure, like, and they do this for undergrad as well, and make sure, all right, are we graduating someone who knows the Bible, right? Because that should be like square one for giving someone a Bible degree. And so it makes sense why a graduate school or a a university would have a test like that. But sometimes I imagine that's what we think is going to happen one day when we stand before our king, is we're going to have like this test. Like, okay, list all 66 books of the Bible and how many Old Testament, how many New Testament. What did Paul mean here? Or what did this parable really mean? But ultimately, and those things matter. I hope they do, because I've sort of devoted my life to teaching those things. But at the end of the day, what we see and what we're going to see is that it's actually not what you know, and it's not passing some sort of Bible trivia test that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but instead, it's this. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat." He says, "I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you looked after me. And I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And the people on the right, those who were receiving their inheritance, said, But Lord, when did we see you hungry and we gave you food? I don't remember doing that. When did we see you naked and we clothed you? When were you in prison and we came and visited you?" And it says, "Then King will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" And it's a long parable. We're not going to go all through it. But then he goes to the left and he says, "You didn't do these things." And he said, "When I was hungry, you did not give me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you did not give me something to drink." And they say, "Lord, King, when did we see you in this state?" And he says, "When you neglected the least of me, that person sitting on the side of the road, when you neglected me, or went with them, you did it to me." And so it's an important lesson for us to understand here, is that Jesus is calling us to say, if you want to step into the mission of God, you want to know what are we going to be measured by? It's by how we responded to those in need right in front of us. Now, certainly, there's other discussions to be had. Don't misunderstand me. And by the way, this also isn't another litmus test of legalism to say, "Oh, I forgot to stop and help that person with a flat tire 10 years ago. I'm never going to make it," right? That's not what we're talking about here either. But the point is, what Jesus wants us to do, one, he wants us to quit thinking about the ways we can make him mad and just step into and partner with him with joy into what we see right in front of us. And honestly, when you look at something like this and what Jesus is teaching, he's not teaching another list here. Don't mistake him. "Oh, if I do these five things, then I've got it figured out." But instead, he's just saying it's not that complicated. Just serve the people right in front of you. And do it with joy. Do it for the glory of God and not for your own. And go and do likewise. Go and do. As we think about our initiative, we're kind of thinking about what does it mean to step into the mission of God. And in the next three lessons, as we wrap up this series, we're going to be talking about three different things. One is going to be go and do. One is go and tell. And then the third, in 3 weeks, we're going to talk about come and see. And this morning, we're talking about go and do. And that's what we're trying to challenge ourselves in. And we always do. And historically, Northeast always has challenged the church to go and do. It's not just about coming here and filling a pew. We're thankful for that. We rejoice that we can come together each first day of the week and that we can praise God together, worship God. And that's absolutely necessary. And we do that. And it's this celebration. But it ought to be a celebration of what we've gone and done throughout the week and how we've actually embodied the love of Christ and stepped into the mission of God throughout the week. Not just what happens here at 1 hour on a Sunday morning, but what happens all throughout the week as we respond to needs in front of us and we see ways in which things are not as they should be and we step in and we try to bless and we try to set them as they should be with the authority of Christ and as he empowers us through his Spirit to do that. And that's what we tried to do during that week, that 2 weeks ago, during the Go Northeast week, where we really put a big focus on outreach, disciple making, service, showing up, being a part of our Vacation Bible School to not only build up our own kids, but to build up kids and families that who responded and came from our community. And I want to encourage you, we gave you this call to show up, to go and do. And what I've tried to do, and I had plenty of time as I sat in my basement with COVID a week ago, and try to calculate who all responded. And you filled out surveys, you signed up for RSVPs. And so these are like very conservative numbers. You know how we talk about preacher numbers sometimes? Like I could say we had 1,000 people show up and work last week with, if I counted you all like three times or whatever, last week with our outreach week. But this isn't preacher numbers, this is conservative. So I actually think the number was actually bigger than this. This is just what I have record of. But got news for you, we didn't have someone keeping attendance and checking down a list. It was just who signed up for things and who we sort of saw. And that number, as we look at that, for volunteers, this is just Northeast volunteers, we had 174 disciples from Northeast, not Madison, not our guests. This is just who showed up to work. And this isn't just like who participated. These are people who volunteered, showed up, worked, provided something, had people in their home, showed up to a service project, volunteered for Vacation Bible School in some way, 174, which makes up roughly 63% of our average Sunday morning attendance. And maybe you think, well, why didn't we get 100%? Well, one, a lot of our volunteers are like under the age of 5, or participants at Northeast and included in that, right? So you got to think about that in terms of the numbers. And as you look at that too, we realize that that's those who were also available. We have all sorts of people who had different trips planned or had other obligations and couldn't be there. But an amazing turnout. As we think about how work is normally done in church, we say the old 20%, 80 split is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That is not the case here at Northeast, first of all. Grady, who does a lot of work with our involvement and trying to get our church involved, will tell you that we're way above that 80-20 rule. But in this week, we totally blew it out of the water. We almost flipped those numbers. But then when you look in terms of showing up and being a part of the events of that week, and because I said over and over again, even if you don't have kids, show up to the adult class. Show up and be a part of Vacation Bible School, because guess what? You're going to encourage our guests who are there. You're going to encourage our young families. And we did. We had a lot of you show up. You didn't even have kids or grandkids. You were at Vacation Bible School and being part of the community. And we look at that number and we include our VBS participants, like our kids. And I only included Northeast members. We didn't include guests, didn't include the Madison crew in this number, but we had 248 people show up, which is 90% of our average Sunday morning attendance. And again, that takes into account people who were sick. It doesn't take account. People who were sick doesn't account for people who had other things just planned on the calendar that week. I just want to say that is an amazing involvement in the work that we had going on, participation in what we had going on. There's very few things we do here at Northeast other than our Sunday morning worship that we have 90% of our numbers showing up to be a part of something. And I tell you this because of this. We challenged you to go and do, and you answered. You stepped into it. And this isn't something, we want to celebrate that. We want to be excited about that and allow that to fuel our excitement for the future, but realize that that was just one thing, but that we want to continue this call and continue this challenge to say this wasn't just a fun summer activity, but we believe this is something we want to call all of us into as we step into God's mission on a regular basis. We want to be people who practice what we preach. And this isn't just something we're going to put one time in the year in the calendar, but there's opportunities all year long for you to step into this mission, for this to be a part of your weekly service as a disciple of Jesus. There's opportunities everywhere. There's opportunities for you to step into the local things or in the things throughout Cincinnati we do, like City Gospel Mission, Matthew 25, which is just down the road. But then there's ways for us to serve more intimately with people we can impact one-on-one, whether it's showing up and serving as we assemble or in donating food for our food drive for Stewart Elementary, whether it's showing up and helping for our Fall Fest and volunteering as Nick Hutchins, one of our ministers here, is going to lead our Fall Fest coming up, and you can serve for that and show up and be a part of that, decorate your trunk, and those are ways we're inviting our community in. Whether it's periodically, you're going to see in announcements where we show up and we serve over at Stewart Elementary again, or serve in another place, or we do some of the things, or we did all the sort of out-of-the-box outreach projects like car washes or going to the park and just trying to meet people and pass out free waters, Gatorade, snacks, and play kickball. Right? We're going to see more of those opportunities available for us to just, on a regular basis, for no other purpose than other just to step into this mission, not trying to fill a week or a schedule, but trying to bless the community around us. Whether on a regular basis we just make these gift baskets that were delivered to fire departments and police departments and just saying thank you and from your friends over at Northeast. Doing those type of things where we are as a community and in groups being able to go and do. And so when I interviewed 2 weeks ago, for those who weren't here, I interviewed one of the ministers and one of the volunteers from Madison, and we were talking about these things, and I raised the question. I said to us here in Northeast, and I framed this to them at Madison as well, is that if we as a church, if we at Northeast were to disappear tomorrow, would our community notice? And I talked about how that's a question that has haunted me every church that I've worked at, because I want us to make an impact. I want us to step in. And I believe, by the way, yes, our community would, I think we've established that. Because a lot of the things we did, we're building on relationships we already had. And so I believe that that's true. But as we talked about that up here on the stage and through this panel, Richard, their youth minister, brought up an incredible point. And that's where I want to shift in our last couple minutes here. As I said, that's an important question to ask. Are we as a church making an impact? And what would happen if we disappeared? But then he raised it above. And he took it to another step. And he says, but what we really need to be asking, he's 100% right, what we really need to be asking is that if I or my family were to disappear from my neighborhood or my workplace or from my family in general tomorrow, would people notice? And that's where we want to get to with this. Not only, it's a huge win when we show, we're called to do life in community and in a gathering of Jesus' disciples. It's so important, incredible, it's essential. But at the same time, we need to take this personally in our own families and our own lives as individuals, where I'm able to step in when I myself am, and see that person on the dying on the side of the road, that I see that I need to step into that mission. And that can look in a lot of different ways. Perhaps it's just helping a neighbor with a home project and you're able to offer some expertise, or you're able to hand them a wrench or lend a tool or be a part. It might just be inviting a neighbor over to your table. That's an incredible way. People just don't do that as much as they used to. An incredible gesture to open up your home, show hospitality. I think hospitality is key for us reaching the next generation, but also the current generation, showing radical, genuine hospitality. It could be just baking cookies, taking them to work, bringing donuts to work, just these kind, small gestures that you can show up and show people the kindness of God. It can just be realizing that someone at work's having a tough time, maybe their car's in the shop and they need a ride, providing them a ride. Or helping take someone close to you to an appointment who is in need. Right, there's literally endless ways for you to jump in and do a small gesture. Writing cards of encouragement. Maybe you're in the habit of writing cards to people on our prayer list. Think about doing that in your neighborhood. What would it look like to write cards or to your coworkers, writing them a card of encouragement? I think this world is starving for a relationship. That goes a long way, and you're able to meet a need. Literally endless ways for you to step in individually, to consume the Word of God, to position yourself in the presence of Jesus on a daily basis where you're filled, your cup is filled. You receive the Word, but then you go and you do. And I want to say as well, remember, you cannot do this on our own. It's so easy as we think of service, outreach, and work. You think, okay, I'm gonna put my work gloves on and get going and power my way through. But remember that we cannot do this without God. We cannot do this without the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we wrap up this morning, I want to close in a prayer. Pray God to bless our efforts going forward as we continue to have these community acts of service and outreach. but as we also pray that God empowers us each individually to even step into small ways. Maybe it's not someone dying on the side of the road, but we're able to step in and be a blessing even in the small ways in our daily life. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We are thankful for the community we have here. We're thankful for our guests who are with us and thankful that they have come our way and that we can receive and welcome them with joy. Father, we pray that you will bless each one of us, whether we're a disciple here at Northeast or we're here for the first time. Just pray that we can receive the word today as we've seen in Matthew 25 and James chapter 1 and Luke 10, that we receive that, listen to your voice in that, but then that we will go and do. And Father, we realize we all have challenges. Maybe it's our own health. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's our time. Or could even just be our own personal limitations where we have fear. But pray that you'll empower us with your Spirit to overcome those obstacles and to be able to serve people in unique ways as we try to embody Christ on this earth as image bearers and ambassadors, as representatives, as partners, fully in close relationship to you. And pray that you'll be with us as we go and do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning, as we have spent precious time in discussion, in worship, in prayer, and study of the word, I challenge you to go and do.